good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and I'm your host for the show. This podcast is an excuse for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. And I also find out what tips they have for other aspiring authors. I have a very special guest on my show today because she is the youngest author I have ever met, never mind interviewed. Anika Goyal is just 13 years old, but her first book, Mixed Bowl of Stories, was published when she was just 11. She's also the host of her own podcast show. Apologies for the slight sound distortion during this episode. Unfortunately, the recording quality was quite poor, but I've done my best to clean it up. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, Anika. It's really lovely to meet you today. So tell me about your book.
Oh, okay. So my first book is a collection of short stories I've written. Some of them are magical with unicorns and dragons, and some are life and moral based, all meant to make kids of younger ages read without difficulty.
What's your book called?
My book's called Mixed Bowl of Stories.
Okay, that's really good, yeah. And you look considerably younger than most of the people I've interviewed for this podcast. So how old are you?
I'm 13.
Wow, 13. And you've written a book already and published it.
Yeah, I published it when I was 11 years old.
When you were 11? Wow, that's incredible. So what inspired you to start writing?
So I was inspired to start writing when I noticed that a competition is happening in school and I wanted to give it a shot. And guess what? When I participated, after 2 months, I got the results and found out that I got a special prize in the competition.
Oh,
that
welcome.
Is the day I decided... Thank you very much. That is the day I decided I want to continue writing and do something more in the literature field.
Okay, yeah. So how did you go about writing your book? Did you have all the stories in your head already, or did you plan them all out? How did you do it?
So my writing process is kind of brief parts of outlining and imagining. So I'm a pantser, so I just outline a brief part of the book and then use my imagination to make bridges between two parts of the book.
Okay.
Yeah. I also keep these vision boards so that I can visualize my characters and understand them better and keep them in my head and describe their way they look and behave and all of that throughout my novel or whatever I'm writing.
Okay.
So now this process I'm talking about, I didn't really follow for my first book because that was just a short story collection with different stories. But the novel I'm currently writing follows this process. Yeah, there are also times my writing process changes completely, and that happens a lot.
Okay, how does it change then?
I can't really tell because sometimes I decide not to go with outlining at all, and then my whole novel changes the way it's going. So what I do is, my actual process, as I told earlier, is outlining and imagining. But when my writing process changes, I do it the other way around. I imagine and then outline.
Oh, okay. Okay then, yeah. So sometimes you already have the ideas and you plan them out. And sometimes you start planning and then the ideas come from the plan.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Obviously, this is a podcast, so nobody will be able to see this. But is that one of your vision boards on the wall?
Yeah.
Ah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see you've got photos on there. So is that sort of photos of what you think your characters would look like? That kind
of. My characters, my settings. I do both. So I do characters, settings. Sometimes I put books which relate to mine.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe when my querying process starts, I can use them as comp titles if they're in the new stage.
Okay, that's a really good way to do it. Yeah, just so that it keeps it in mind. Your vision for the book, and then you can, I guess that kicks your imagination off, does it?
I just wanted to add that before this novel, I was actually working on my mystery novel, but then that got shelved because I kind of messed up on that. But for that one, you should have seen my vision board then. It was really cool. I had these threads matching up from one person to the other, matching of suspects, because like my mystery novel had many suspects in it. That one did not go as planned, because I ended up making my protagonist older than the reader. Turned out to become an adult novel, which was, I was actually not writing. I was actually writing a military novel, but then turned to that. So while I'm going to be like working on this and it's done, on my fantasy novel, which I'm working on currently, I'll be like working on my mystery novel and making it a middle grade novel again when I'm in the revision process of this one. So like during the revision process, you have to leave the novel aside for like at least a month.
Yeah.
So during the month I get, I'll be working on my mystery novel and trying to fix it and make it middle grade again.
Okay, so you've got the two novels that you're writing. You've got a fantasy novel and a mystery novel.
Yeah, a mystery novel was for second one I was trying to write, but then it got shelved. So I started to work on my fantasy novels, which I'm working on currently.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say when you finish it, you put it aside for a month. Is that so that when you come back to it, you're coming back with fresh eyes, and it's kind of new?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it makes a
big difference. Yeah, because when you come with fresh eyes back to your own book, you will do it from a reader's point of view instead of a writer's point of view. You'll be like, whose work is this, even though it's your own?
Yeah, I know that feeling. I've sometimes written blog articles for clients, and then I've been doing some research for that client, and I've come across an article and started reading it and thought, well, this is quite good. And then I've realized that it was something that I wrote. I don't recognize it as my own writing because it was so long. But it's really interesting reading your own stuff, isn't it? When you come to and you.
Because when you read it with fresh eyes, you come into the point of view of a reader and you can spot your errors easier. And like, first you read it as a reader. So this is what I do. I have this before, but like in my writing process, I also like when I'm revising or outlining, this was my first one, which I'm doing with revising and all of that, because the first one, as I said earlier, is a short story collection. So it's not connected. They're all different stories.
Right.
The one which I'm working on currently focuses mainly on the outlining. If my outlining is not right and the bridges I create between the two parts are not right, the whole storyline can collapse.
Right, yes. Yeah, no, that's right. That's very true. So how did you go about publishing your short story book?
Oh, okay. So I got my first book published by Story Mirror. It was like an company, a publishing company in India, and I required no agent for my work since I directly contacted the publisher. The way I found about Story Mirror was, as I said earlier, the competition I took part in, that was of Story Mirror, and on Story Mirror, I'm a literary captain, and I was the nominee for 2019 Author of the Year.
Oh, wow.
On that website, and I was the winner of Author of the Week and Editor's Choice.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So does that mean I can call you an award-winning author?
Yeah, you could say that.
That's not bad. At the age of 11, is it, when you wrote the book? That's not bad.
Yeah. I got the book published. Even though I got the book published at the age of 11, I got those awards when I was 10 years old.
Gosh, wow. I'm so impressed. Yeah. So impressed. So when you say Storyville published it for you, did you just send...
Is that actually Story Mirror?
Oh, sorry. Did you just send them the manuscript and then they did all the work on it?
Yeah, so basically first I sent their manuscript, asked them whether they liked it. Then they said, yes, okay, we love it. We would like to continue it. And then we did the whole... Before we started, we did the agreement, the writing agreement. And since I'm not on the standards, I can actually sign the agreement. My parents signed it on my behalf.
Okay.
And that's how it got published. After that, then the full publication thing started. And since I got it published, since I thought it would not be a good idea to start. I mean, I wanted to do physical, but then I thought it would be better to do ebook for now. So then that one was on Kindle, and it got published on Amazon Kindle and Kindle Unlimited.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
This one is going to be traditionally published. That one was also traditionally published, but without an agent. This one I'll be doing with agent, traditionally published, and I'll be doing it like a proper hard copy book, like the one you can hold in your hand.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, how will you publish the novels that you're working on at the minute? So you've got an agent for them?
No, I'm going to be working with the agent once I'm done with my work. I'll be querying and finding an agent. Yeah.
Okay then. Okay. Yeah. No. Good luck with that. It's not easy to get books published, but you know, the fact that you've already got this short story book published already, you know, that should work in your favor, I think, won't it? It sort of gets you a foot in the door once you get.
Because I guess I've heard many times that never include your age in a query letter.
Okay.
Because some people add their age in the query letter thinking that the agent will go easy on them and maybe offer them representation faster. But actually, as a matter of fact, that's not the case.
Okay.
Because I once queried an agent when my manuscript was incomplete, and the response I got was not good because they said that you are supposed to finish your whole thing. But I was new to writing that time. I didn't really know, and I did that, and they told, you've started young, that's good, just that you have to complete your whole novel in order for us to accept it or decline it.
Oh, okay.
But if it's not complete and not polished before you send it, they will have a hard time figuring out which part is what.
Right, yeah. So you're going to wait until you finish them before you...
Yeah,
that's a good idea. So... what have you learned about yourself through writing your short story book and the novels that you're writing?
I learned that the things I learned about myself while writing my first book, Big Spool of Story, was that I would achieve anything if I set my mind to it. The reason I say this is because Big Spool of Stories had like a tough journey. First of all, the ideas. These all were short stories, which are separate. And I decided, okay, let me just compile these stories, make them a little longer, and then contact the publishing company and ask them whether they can make it into a short story collection. And that's how Mixed Polar Stories came into being.
Yeah, like you said, you can achieve anything when you put your mind to it. And to have done that, you know, at the age of 10, 11, to have written a book and had it published... That proves it, doesn't it? That how many people do you know? How many of your friends have published a book? I wonder.
None, but but I do know one author. She got her book published when she was 13.
Okay.
So as far as I know, I don't know anyone personally who has published their book at 10, 11 like me. And even if they are, I don't have connection with them or something.
Yeah.
Lily Florence is one of the authors I have interviewed on my show. She's the author of Honey Butter Moon. I forgot the name, sorry. It's Honey Butter, and she was the author of that book, and she published at the age of 13.
Okay. So there are a few people around. So what advice would you give if there's anyone who's sort of around your age who's listening, who enjoys writing, what advice would you give them about becoming an author?
I think the one and only tip I think every author would give, an aspiring author, would be to keep reading, because reading will make your mind more creative, and when you set off to write a book or novel, you will have many ideas to start off with.
Yeah, definitely. You read a lot.
Yeah, I have read many books, like probably over 500. And yeah. I'm not doing a over-exaggeration. That probably must be true, because on my shelf over here, I have more than, I can hardly count them. There are many over here. And then I have some in the other shelf. Some of them are non-fiction. Most of them are fiction, and I get many books from the library, so you can't really count exactly, because some of them go and come back and stuff, because library books are not for keeping, right?
Yeah.
So most of the time when I go to the library, I'm like, what book should I borrow now?
Yeah.
Almost half of these books I've read. So that's why I always wait. Like, but actually, it's never possible for you to have read all the Margaret novels which are there, because each month a new book is published.
Yeah.
On June 15th, Rhea and the Blood of Nectar is coming. It's a book by Loshi, and I already read that book. Reason being, I got like an ARC copy.
Yeah. Did you? That's interesting, actually. You got an ARC copy. Do you use beta readers? Did you use beta readers?
No. For the first one, I did not use any beta readers because all those books, I mean, all those stories which I had written were already read by other authors, and they had already given me feedback directly in the comment section. Some of them were like, this is so good and stuff like that. So that actually played the role of beta reading, not in the actual form, but indirectly.
Yeah.
So this one, I've started doing this for the one which I'm currently writing, the fantasy novel. I decided that I wanted to start a, I did beta reading, alpha reading. Alpha reading is basically something which comes after beta reading, but what I'm doing now is I met one girl. She is around 15, and we met through Crazy Writing Week, if you know about that, CWW. So it's like a sprinting competition kind of thing between two teams who are teenagers.
Okay.
I mean, not teenagers, exactly, young authors, you could say young authors.
Right.
And like they were, that was kind of like a league kind of competition between two teams, and I was in the Spoons team. And she was also in the Spoons team, so that's how I got to know about her. And then she, I asked her later on that, would you like to beta read my work? And she said yes. And then I decided I could bend the rules of beta reading and maybe start beta reading, get her beta reading from now. So like what I have done is I tell her every Friday, just read whatever I have so far and then give me feedback. So that later on in the end, when I have to edit on my own, I don't have like a whole bunch left for me to do.
Right. Okay. So she's giving you feedback as you write it.
Yeah. Every Friday. So it's not hard for her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So how much do you write in a week? How much do you think you give a week?
That actually is a hard question because I don't have a fixed writing routine or anything. So whenever I get time or whenever I get inspiration, most of the time it's inspiration.
Yeah.
Whenever I get the inspiration to write or have a strong idea, which I really need to get typing on or else forget that idea, I quickly write in my notebook so then I can quickly jot it down and craft it into the novel.
Yeah. But
coming back to your question, which was how many words you write per week, on average, I think the way I can answer this question is that I use NaNoWriMo's goal tracker to figure out how many I write, and according to that, I write in a whole week, I think I write 2,000 words at least.
Okay,
minimum.
That's pretty good.
That's the minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad at all, is it?
It's not bad.
Yeah, presumably you're at school as well, so you're kind of, it's not like you're sitting all day writing your books, are you? You're fitting it in around.
Yeah, I have summer holidays right now, so this is like a more free time kind of thing.
Yeah. No, but presumably you really enjoy writing. That's why you do it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite subject at school?
English, of course.
Yeah, I thought it might.
Especially the creative writing part of it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No. I thought
that like just that I somehow enjoy, you know, those parts like where you she gives like a prompt, a writing prompt, and we write a story on it. Those are my favorite.
Right. Yeah. Where you can really use your imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's really good. So has anything exciting happened to you as a result of becoming an author? I mean, you've got your own podcast for a start. Did that come because you've written your book?
Oh, no, I decided on that. Actually, a funny story. I started that accidentally. So basically, I wanted to come out from the podcasting directory thing, and I wanted to click cross, but I accidentally clicked on the button which signed me up for a podcast, and I was like, uh-oh. But then I was like, on second thought, it would be nice to have a podcast. I could learn something new. And then I started making podcast episodes.
Yeah, gosh, yeah, that you're the first person I've heard who started a podcast by accident. But you've got a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I have, currently I have 964 views.
Wow.
And if you ask me about countries and cities and places like that, how many people are viewing, don't get me started, because if I start, they may not be able to finish.
Oh dear, okay.
Too many, and plus it takes me time to find them. So like,
yeah,
I have a whole journal, places and countries people are watching from.
That's really good.
Well, and when I started my first episode, I thought like maybe no one is listening, but then after 5-6 episodes more, it started building up, and I was like, I don't have any friends or relatives or anyone there who is listening to this. Like, of course, public is listening to it.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got people listening all over the world.
Yeah.
That's really.
And then I have my podcast on Spotify, Speaker, on Amazon Music, I think.
Yeah.
Basically, it's on almost every listening radio thing.
Yeah.
Like Overcast, Undercast, all of them.
All the podcast platforms, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so back to the question. has anything else happened as a result of writing the book? Have you been invited to speak anywhere or anything as an author?
As a result, let me think. No, I think this is my first interview I've had with anyone about my book.
Yeah.
But yes, I have had, after my book was published, my first book was published, I... not related to that, but I was selected for a slam poetry competition.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and in that,
you write poetry as well, then?
Yeah, I do both, but like I'm more towards writing stories and novels.
Okay, then. Yeah, yeah. No, that's I'm rubbish at writing poetry. I'd love to be able to write poetry, but I'm just not very good at it.
Actually, there's a way you can learn poetry. So poetry is actually basically all about verses. It's like the rhyming. Most of the time, poems are rhyming, but without rhyming, also they're really good. Before, when I started, my poems never made any sense. But then I read other poems and slowly, slowly understood the essence of poem writing.
Yeah, yeah. So so what's next for you? I guess you're working hard on your two novels.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, I'm currently working on a middle grade fantasy novel, and will start finding critique partners and beta readers, more critique partners and beta readers, and start writing probably by January 2022.
Okay, yeah. So and then it's finding an agent and finding a publisher. And getting that.
I guess finding an agent would mean getting a publisher, because the agent sends your book to publishers who they think will be interested in it.
Yeah, yeah. So well, good luck. You know, I really hope you.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best with that. Where can people find out more about you online, Anika?
Okay, so you can find me on Goodreads by typing my full name, which is Anika Goyal.
Okay.
So basically, let me just tell you where to type it, which is pretty obvious. It's just type it into the search bar of Goodreads. You can interact with me by asking questions using the Ask the Author feature. Also, I run my own podcast. So if you want to check it out, you can go to anchor.fm/Nika674.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'll put those links in the show notes as well, so that people can find you.
Yeah.
Anika, it's been absolutely lovely to meet you today. I'm so impressed by everything you've achieved so far, and by your obvious passion for writing. Who knows? Maybe you could be, you know, one of the biggest authors in the world in a few years, and I'll have been the first person to interview you. How cool is that? Thank you
for
being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Anika for being my guest on the show today. Her book, Mixed Bowl of Stories, is available on Amazon, and you can also find out more about Anika on her own podcast, which is called Book Club with Anika Goyal. Just search for her name, which I'll spell out for you. It's Anika, A-N-I-K-A, Goyal, G-O-Y-A-L. You'll also find the links in the show notes. If you've always enjoyed writing, no matter what your age, and have been inspired to take that a step further and write your first book, I can help. Have a look at my website, www.theproofairy.com, where you can download a workbook and book a free exploratory call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, and if you're already a published author, you'll find information on how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and review it. And I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.